Life and living it are two different things God has given to man. You may have life but not living it. You may be living, but you may have lost your life. Wait a minute. It is time to be inspired with Ajimano Chudako.
Hello to you, and I trust you're doing great. I'm glad to come your way again with the part two of Reliving the Sermon on the Mount. And as you're enjoying your special Easter Monday, I believe that you're also doing a very important retrospective assessment of your life and also understanding what you've been through in the past and doing the retro and the introspective of inside yourself through a self-examination. If you think that you're okay, are you okay? Like, are you in good terms with everything around you, with the people around you? Are you still fighting some battles on your own? Believe me, it's not your battle, it's for God. Don't be your own samurai. Just let God be your own protector. I mean, there's some things you have to let go, okay, and let God be your strength and not yourself. So I'm glad you're here this morning alive, in your good condition. Let's do a quick prayer so we start. Oh Lord Almighty, I thank you so much for the lives of the listener, wherever he is, in Africa, across the oceans, in Europe, Asia, America. I thank you for their lives. I pray that this moment is a moment where they hear these words to inspire their minds and hearts, to heal their depression, to heal their anxiety, and also give them that direction for the next action. Thank you so much for everything you've done for your children. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So welcome back on the part two of the Sermon on the Mount. So the last time in the part one, I ended at blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. And also I also mentioned the pure in heart, who are blessed because they will see God. And the next thing I'll be looking at are blessed are the peacemakers. Now, this can be found in Matthew chapter 5 verses 3 to 10, and I'm working on from chapter 8 to 10. So let me just go over again with the blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I was telling you, who is pure in heart? Who has a pure heart? I mean, you know that there's this kind of feeling that when you see someone and then you have your heart beat up normally, that is, it can mean two things, all right? It can mean two things. It's either you like the person or you're in love with the person, or and you can't tell the person that you're in love with them until you do that. You still keep having that issue. And then the second one is when you have a problem with these people, an unresolved problem, an unsettled matter. There's a feud between you and this person, or you hate this person. You have this kind of hatred or this kind of gruesome experience with this person, and you just have not been able to offset this kind of dispute you have against them. Anytime you set your eyes on them, your heart will just pounce, like naturally you just have your heart beating abnormally, like you're abnormal. But it's just not you, it's something wrong somewhere that you've stored in your heart against this person. And you can only get over it until you've resolved this dispute with them. So if you have to tell them something and you can't tell them, and you see them all the time, your heart begins to beat abnormally, and you have to work on it. Now let's take it from the other angle. What if it's not about an issue of love or like, just genuine love you have for this person, you tell them and then you're okay? It's about something that happened between you and this person. there was a misunderstanding and there was this something happened, and then you said something, they did something, and then this has brought a division between the two of you. So when I see you, I don't talk to you, I just pass by. And when you see me, you don't talk to me, you just pass by. That means that there is a tension between you and I. Now, this tension can go on and on and on and on because you are fueling your ego and I'm fueling my ego as well. And it can get worse to a point where I can watch you go through a very devastated time, like a very painful and very excruciating situation. And I can watch you and I will not support you or not help you because my heart is not pure. I have evil in my mind against you. Or you have evil in your mind against that person because you have not overcome that contention in your heart. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 4 about Cain and Abel. Now, the issue between Cain and Abel was that Cain felt pretty discontent with what he was bringing to God. And God had told him that, listen, would you not have been okay if you have brought to me the right thing? Your brother Abel brought to me the right thing. But you know the good thing, you didn't do it. So Cain's issue was just complacency. He knew what was right that he had to do, but he chose to do something which was inferior, something which was quite under the level, or something which was quite less quality he brought to God. And he got the result for it. And he was not happy with that. And God said, you know what you've done. If you have done the right thing, would you have been happy? Wouldn't you have been confident if you did the right thing? And because he gave room to this kind of discontent in his heart, it blew some amount of hatred within him for Abel because he did the right thing. And that's when he saw that the best way he could overcome this kind of depression or this kind of pain was to eliminate his brother who has done the right thing. We are talking about, blessed are the pure in heart. Who has got a pure heart? The Bible says in Psalms that when David said, Lord, create in me a clean heart so that I may worship you. David needed a heart that was clean. That means a heart that is pure so that he could worship him. Because if you have a heart that is indented with stains, impairments, impurities, how can you worship God? How can you worship God if you have got a lot of discontent? If you've got a lot of issues with people, how can you worship God? How well can you do that? You enter into the house of God and you lift up your hands in prayer and in adoration and in worship, and you have got people you are hating on your hate list. You got people you blocked on your block list for no reason. You got people that you are not talking to, people you are fighting with, people that you don't even look in eye to eye with. How can you have a pure heart to worship God? No, that won't work. That's not real. You know that. It's not going to work. You're just doing a lip service. Deep down, your heart is not pure. You know, the legal popular clause that says that the Marxist rule, that maxim of equity, says that he who beckons on equity must have clean hands. If you are calling on the Lord for vindication, be sure that you have got clean hands. Don't throw stones and then hide your hands. Don't create chaos and pretend that you have nothing to do with it. That is just not a pure in heart. That does not qualify purity in heart. Purity in heart signifies people who are willing to reconcile because they've realized that there's no benefit in fuel or nurturing a grudge. And they are willing to go the extra mile, cross the seven seas, just to bring back the love. These people have purity in their hearts because they've cleansed their hearts of all the indemnities, and they are willing to start something new again. Blessed are these people. Blessed are these people when they live or they wake up in the morning and they realize that I have done my best to get together with this person, but to no avail, and they are still going through a time of reconsideration. They are thinking, what can I do to bring back this relationship or to bring back this kind of union? They are worried about it. These people are pure in heart because they are looking for ways and means to bring back what has been broken or to repair what has been destroyed. My friends, family, sisters, brothers, mothers, aunties, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Work as much as possible to be in peace with everyone. Not just any kind of peace. True peace. True peace. Not relentfulness. Don't relent. It doesn't qualify peace. Try as much as possible to build a peace. Be pure in heart. Let the Lord God know that deep down in your heart you hold no grudge. You're not doing anything that qualifies the grudge. You are looking forward to bring back together what has been broken or what has been lost. And when you do that, you are accorded pure in heart. And you shall see God, because the Lord God is pure in heart at all. And you can see him because you don't have anything against anyone. You don't have that room for that. And your actions don't prove otherwise. Someone can say, I don't hold anything against you, yet their actions are otherwise. They oppose what they say. They can look into your face and say, I don't hold anything against you, yet they won't talk to you. Yet they won't help you. Yet they won't love you. Yet they won't do anything to show that indeed they hold nothing against you. But yet they say with their mouth. And that is not purity in heart. It is not lip service. It is action. Love is a verb. Purity in heart is not just a saying. It's a verb. You need to prove that your heart is pure. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Are you a peacemaker? Or you're the other way around? You knock heads together. How well have you been doing that? But there's always a reward for peacemakers, people who are looking forward to bring back what has been lost. People who are willing to throw their hands up and say, I surrender. It will not benefit me if we're to go on this guilt tripping or this kind of who is right or wrong arbitrary process. What is the benefit? What we want to do is achieve togetherness and love and union. And therefore, I'm going to achieve it. I'm going to raise my hands up in the high and say, I surrender. Whether I'm right or wrong, I surrender. Let sleeping dogs lie. Let everything be settled. Are you willing to do that? How often do you do that? Are you that kind of person who is always trying to defend themselves and secure themselves as the right people all the time? When was the last time you apologized for something that you did and you knew you did wrong? When was the last time you apologized for something that you knew you didn't do anything wrong, but yet because of peace, you had to apologize just to calm the other person down? Do you feel so egoistic or you feel that your ego is too huge that an apology is just a no-no for you? What have you gained with that? You're always being right about everything and making others feel that they are the worst. is that what you believe is the best thing that you're going to have to your life, just know that blessed are the peacemakers, irrespective whether if you caused it or didn't cause it. Anybody who is willing to bring peace, anybody who's willing to calm the heart of everybody down for there to be togetherness and unity, irrespective of either they were the offenders or not, be blessed, because you are called a son or daughter of God, because you are willing always to restore peace. Your actions, either being right or wrong, means nothing to you. What means a lot to you is that at the end of the day, there should be peace. And finally, it's those who are persecuted for righteousness. You know, there are many people in this world who are hated, who are marginalized, who are segregated because they stand for the Lord. They stand for what is right. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is yours. For everything that you've lost in this world, because you stood for the truth, because you stood for the Lord, you will gain it in heaven. You are blessed when they insult you. You are blessed when they persecute you falsely. You are blessed when every kind of evil against you is done and you still stand. My friend, loved one, be glad and rejoice, because your reward for being merciful, for being poor in spirit, for being gentle, for being pure in heart, for being a peacemaker, for being persecuted for righteousness, be glad and rejoice, because your reward is in heaven. For that is how they persecuted the prophets and everyone who was before you, and yours is no different. You will be blessed. These words are not my words. These words are the words of God. And if you're a Christian, or if you believe in Jesus Christ and his salvation for your life, let these words not grieve your heart. Let these words not create any kind of shallow disputes for you. Let these words break down your heart from a stony or a metallic or any kind of form into a fleshy form. Let it create that kind of softness in your heart. Let these words permeate your mind and your soul. Let these words renew you and transform you. Your hardened state will not bring any benefit to your life. Soften up. Let these words soften you up. Let these words open your heart up to show love, to show mercy, to be gentle, to be a peacemaker, to have a pure heart. And the Lord God will bless you. Have a nice day. Be blessed. Bye. Thank you so much for spending time with me on Life and Living It with Ajiman Ochodako, where you were inspired with very, very important elements that you must consider to have a great and inspirationally filled life. I want to tell you that I thank you so much for your support, your prayers. We went on a long break, but we're back. And we believe that we're going to keep the fire burning, providing you with the very, very essential content on this podcast to help you grow within, in and out, to shine so much for others to feel your impact. God bless you. Have a nice day, and keep supporting this podcast the best way you can, so it can go as far as wide for everyone to feel and hear our voices on Life and Living It with Ajiman Ochodako. Be blessed. Have a nice day. Bye.